We've often remarked in about this book of Proverbs how we can view it as a parent taking a child or setting the child down and giving the child instruction about how to live a good life. Well, certainly tonight's lesson would fit in with that. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we see this kind of picture depicted for us. In Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Solomon writes, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live.'" Solomon says this is the way it has always been and always should be. The father sitting down with the son and instructing him on what's really important. And then when the son gets older and has children, that's what he does. And so there's the pattern that Solomon puts forth. And so that's what Solomon is doing in this book. It's like we're sitting at his feet and he's instructing us. He's giving us good doctrine. He's giving us good principles. He's giving us good lessons to live by. He says, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commands, and live." Tonight, I want to focus on a topic in Proverbs that Solomon deals with quite a bit, and that's the topic of anger. He talks about emotions in this book quite a bit. He really does. He discusses emotions, various types of emotions, what emotions can lead to. And of course, anger would certainly be one of the strongest emotions that most of us feel. First of all, we want to look at and answer the question, is all anger wrong? Is all anger wrong? Well, we go back and we'll look at some in Proverbs in a minute. Let's go back to Psalms for just a minute. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11 reveals something about anger that we all need to know. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. In describing God, the psalmist says, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day." So every day, God is angry with wicked people. And of course, we could multiply that many-fold. The Bible talks so many times about how God gets angry with wicked people, with sinful people. He gets angry with them, as it says, every day. So anger with God is something that's very common. So obviously, anger is not in and of itself right or wrong. It's a neutral emotion. It can be used for good. It can be used for wrong. You know, Jonah, at the end of the book, in Jonah chapter 4, you know, we see a lot of things that happen to Jonah in that book, and Jonah gets angry and so forth. But in that, Jonah, at the end, glorifies God because he's slow to anger. That's how he describes God, amongst other descriptions. He's slow to anger. And of course, Jesus got angry as well on several occasions, not just once. He got angry twice, once at the beginning of his ministry, once at the end of his ministry, when he saw what the temple had become. People had used it for material gain instead of what it was supposed to be used for. Jesus got angry at sin. Jesus got angry at hypocrisy and a number of other things. We're told, Matthew chapter 5, remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in verse 22, that we're not to be angry without a cause. Don't be angry without a cause. So there's a qualifier there. If you're angry for no reason, yeah, the Bible says that's very sinful. We'll talk much more about that later. In Proverbs, Solomon also talks about this idea of anger as an emotion and what it's to be used for and not. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, Proverbs 14:29, we again have this qualifier about anger in our lives. Proverbs 14, verse 29, Solomon writes, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." So he says it's the one who is slow to anger, not the one who never gets angry, but it's the one who is slow to anger that Solomon says has great understanding. So someone who has doesn't, as he says, is not impulsive, or we might say doesn't fly off the handle is another way, I guess, of describing it. He says much the same thing in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." So anger, then, is one of those neutral emotions. It is can be a very positive thing. Usually it's a very negative thing, as we'll see in the rest of this book of Proverbs. We'll talk about the positive side later. But all anger is not bad. But God's people are to make sure that they are slow to anger, and that their anger has a cause, has a right cause, has a righteous cause. So there are qualifiers to anger. The second thing we see from Proverbs is that anger can be destructive. And we see this all the time. We see it in the news. We've seen it this week in the news with things that's happened both in our country and in the world. Anger can be very destructive. In Proverbs 14, this time verse 17, the first part of that verse says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly." Someone who gets angry very quickly, as he calls them, quick-tempered, often does what? Things that are foolish. In other words, he doesn't think. He acts before he thinks. Anger can cause all kinds of other problems. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Solomon says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." See, a man that is angry, that is constantly angry, stirs up strife. And anger can do that. Anger can cause worse things. And of course, that's one of the problems with not being with being quick-tempered. It often leads to far worse things then. It stirs up problems. Usually because people do things they don't think about. So anger in that case kind of suppresses other emotions and it kind of takes over. And it causes you to do things that are foolish, things that cause strife, things that cause problems. Anger can do all kinds of things like that. Anger is often quite cruel, the Bible says. In Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 3. Proverbs chapter 27, beginning in verse 3. "A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy?" He says, look, he talks about how heavy a stone is, how heavy sand is on you. But he says a fool's wrath is heavier, not physically, but emotionally, it's heavier than both of them. Anger holds on you. It bears on you. It crushes you. And he says, it is cruel. And maybe you've done that yourself or experienced that anger can lead to things that are cruel. Well, in what way? Well, anger can cause you to say things that are cruel that under other circumstances you might not say. Or it can cause you to do things that are cruel that under other circumstances you wouldn't. No wonder the Bible says you need to be slow to anger. If you're slow to anger, then you're much less likely to do those things. So no wonder that anger and wrath is said to be heavy. It's a heavy emotion. It weighs on you. It's like a burden often. And it is cruel. And he says anger is a torrent. You know, we know what a torrent is. We've experienced, you know, heavy floods and flash floods. That's kind of like a torrent. It can overwhelm you in no time, can't it? I think that's the idea of what he's trying to get across here, is that anger can overwhelm you very quickly. So if, like he mentioned, you're quick-tempered, then and if all kinds of things cause you to do that, then it is like a torrent. It can just overtake you and end up causing you to say things and do things that are very cruel. That's wrong. So the anger part often leads to sin. And of course, that's quite often the problem. And he's really talking about, in many of these cases, the person who's constantly like that. Go back to Proverbs 19 and we'll again see this idea of all the problems that anger can cause. Proverbs 19:19 teaches us a couple of, I think, really great principles or lessons. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. So here's someone who has great wrath. This is someone who is constantly angry. And he doesn't ever control that emotion. It always comes kind of flying out. So he's never slow to anger. He always reacts violently or he reacts quickly and doesn't think about what he's going to say or do, and so he lets anger override him. Again, it becomes like the overriding emotion, and so he can't control that ever. I mean, no individual has ever completely controlled it. Then we would have that perfect man that James talks about. Well, there isn't such a person. But here he's talking about someone who has great wrath, who has much anger, and who is angry often, and who flies off the handle often, who is very quick-tempered. He never controls his anger. This person will what? Suffer punishment. Well, of course, he usually suffers punishment in this life, but obviously in the next life is the worst. And he says, if you do rescue this type of person, what will you have to do? Keep doing it over and over and over again. Because it's become part of them. It's not just something that happens once in a while. This is something that is just habitual to this type of person. He's constantly like this. Constantly is angry to the extent that he will be cruel. It will lead to sin. He will say and do things that are sinful. So it's a pattern with him. It's a pattern. It's truly become a habit with him. So this is like uncontrolled anger, unchecked anger, habitual anger, and it often leads to destruction. Three, anger often leads to many other types of sin. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife. This is like the third verse we've read in Proverbs that mentions the same outcome. But notice the second part. And a furious man abounds in transgression. Notice now how he combines this anger, this wrath, this uncontrolled, constant, habitual anger with transgression. He hadn't done that really before. One often leads to the other. Being angry, in many cases, isn't sinful, but it can lead to sin. Of course, this is what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go to the New Testament for a moment. And Paul says much the same thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on," what? "Your wrath." So be angry, he says, but don't let it lead to sin. So there's another place that says, no, being angry is a neutral emotion, but it often leads to sin. That's why it gives so much instruction in the Old Testament and the New Testament about being slow to anger. And that, of course, will keep it from leading to sin, or hopefully will keep it from leading to sin. So the idea then, since this is such a strong emotion, is why are you getting angry? There are very just reasons to be angry, but there's probably more reasons not to be. So what's your motive for being angry? Remember the parable of the prodigal son, Luke 15? The elder brother who represented the Pharisees, the religious rulers, he got angry, didn't he? But why did he get angry? Because he was envious and jealous of his younger brother. You know, he had gone off and wasted all of his inheritance and came back, and he wanted his father to treat him like a servant or a slave. He didn't want him to come back and throw a feast, and that's what the father did. And so the elder brother does what? He gets angry because of that, because he's envious and jealous. And that's sometimes a reason for anger, is envy or jealousy. I talked about Jonah already once, but Jonah got angry, didn't he? Kind of an unusual case in Jonah's example. He got angry because people did what God wanted them to do. And that just ticked him off. They repented at his preaching. He didn't want them to repent. See, he went and he preached to them, but he didn't want them to listen to him. And they did, and God spared them, and that made him mad. So he got angry because the people actually repented, which is kind of an unusual, you know, motive for being angry. But there's good motives for being angry. Sometimes I don't think members of the church are angry enough, at least at the right things. But there's a lot of things in our society, just like there was in the first century, that we should be angry about. You know, we look at the reasons that God says he's angry. He's angry at what? Wickedness. Well, so should we be. Jesus was angry when people turned what was religious into something that wasn't religious, like the temple. Jesus was angry with hypocrisy. Well, those things should make us angry too. All the millions of abortions that are performed every year, that should cause us to be angry. It makes God angry. The Bible says it does. So if it makes God angry, I certainly have a right to be angry about it. So I should be angry about it. I should be angry about all the homosexual agenda that goes on in our country. I should be angry about that. And the list could go on. A number of other things. Those things should make us angry because they're sinful, they're wicked, and God the Father is angry about them. Jesus is angry about them. So those are motives that are good for us to be angry about. We shouldn't just brush those aside and say, oh, well, that's just the world we live in. That's not how Jesus responded. That's not how the apostles responded to sin. They didn't just accept it and say, oh, well, that's the world we live in. They lived in a very wicked world too. They didn't accept sin. They got angry about sin. And so should we. It should make us angry. But not to the point where many religious people take it. It's all right to be angry, but what did Ephesians chapter 4, 26 say? Don't let it lead to sin. And that's what people do. They'll go kill abortion doctors, or they'll blow up abortion clinics. Well, see, they've taken their anger and they've allowed it to cause sin, because those are both things that are sinful. So yes, it's good and right to be angry about those things, but like anything else, we can't let it lead to sin. That's what the Bible tells us. We can't let it lead to sin. But it should bother us. and should bother us. The same things that bothers God should bother us. And lastly, Proverbs also tells us how to deal with angry people. Proverbs 22. It's the last topic, very briefly. Proverbs 22, verse 24, gives us some more good instruction and lessons and principles. Proverbs 22, 24 says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 about what evil company does? It corrupts you. So that's what he says about, you know, angry, furious people. Don't be around them if you can help it. Because what? You might learn their ways. You know, if you're around someone that is very quick-tempered, that never controls his anger, that is constantly, you know, lashing out, then what might happen? Well, you might become like them, regardless of how hard you tried not to. So he says, you know, don't be friends with an angry, furious person. Don't go with them. Don't have fellowship with them. Don't be their friend. Because there's a possibility that that will cause you to stumble, he says. And finally, Proverbs 15:1 is our last verse we'll look at. Dealing with angry people. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness." Sometimes when we're dealing with angry people, the best thing to do is reply with a soft answer. That doesn't mean it will necessarily help. But he says a harsh word is almost definitely going to make it worse. Because he said that will usually stir it up. In other words, you know, make the anger even worse than it is. So there's advice that he gives us. And he says it's based on what we say. You know, the tongue of the wise person, the righteous person, is going to use that knowledge in a right way. Foolish people don't. You know, foolish people, when they're around someone that's angry, will just keep it going more and more and more and make it worse and worse and worse. But the righteous person is going to try and say the right thing to at least help the situation, or at least not make it worse. And that's the advice he gives us about dealing with angry people. Don't associate with them, someone that's angry and furious. Don't be friends with them. Don't go places with them. Because it may trap you. And certainly that's very possible. And also, try and use your tongue wisely to diffuse the situation, if possible. I can see how and why Solomon uses this idea of an older person, a wiser person, sitting down with a younger person and explaining to them, this is how to have a better life. This is how to have a better life. Dealing with anger, one of the strongest emotions. An emotion, by the way, God put in us. That emotion comes from God, by the way. So that's something innate with us. God made us that way. Because in some cases, he wants us to become angry. But only if it's for the right cause. For the right cause. Solomon, if he were here, would be saying, and him being human, Solomon got angry. We look at all the Old Testament characters. What about, they all got angry. Many of them got angry for the wrong reason. So it is human nature to often get angry for the wrong reasons. The nice thing about that is that we all have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? What John tells us in 1 John. And we can ask him to forgive us. We also have him as the one to go to wash away our sins in baptism, so that we can respond to him in that way and become a new creature, having our sins washed away. So if you need to respond, I encourage you to come as David leads us in this song.